Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 224. And our guest today is Nicole from Melbourne in Australia. And if you've never listened to The Dream Show before, I do need to say that when we have a guest on the show, the one thing we don't know is anything about the dream. So the moment that we hit the record button is the first time that I hear the dream. So as you hear the dream, you're hearing it. I'm hearing it for the first time. And we have just actually finished recording the dream with Nicole. So I know what it's about, even though you don't yet. And I think you're really going to enjoy this one. It's a scary dream that actually turns out really well and has so much positivity in it and so much light in it. And Nicole, you know, goes away at the end of the dream, really feeling extremely uplifted and quite clear on where to go next and what the dream is about. It's a scary dream. And I think that you're going to learn a lot about, not only a lot about dream interpretation and how to look at your own dreams, but you're going to learn a lot about life in general. And as always with these things, where there's a guest on the show, part of it is loving, understanding more about dreams. And part of it is just that lovely feeling of just listening in to someone talking about their dream and their life and how the two relate and learning from other people in the wonderful ways that we do when people open up and we listen in. So just before we go there, reminding you of the website addresses, janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, where you can go to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been, to find out about my services and how I can help you understand your dreams. Or if you want to be a guest on The Dream Show, you can go there too, janeteresa.com, go to podcasts and you'll find out in the drop-down box underneath that how to be a guest on the show. You might also like to study with me at The Dream Academy, dream-academy-online.com. And also a little update with the podcasts. We all know that iTunes is gone now. So you can listen to The Dream Show on Apple Podcasts. And we have now put the show on Spotify and on Stitcher and wherever else you listen to your podcast. So we've kind of expanded, put it out all over the place, even though we've already been going for 10 years. So you can go along, subscribe, listen there. But let's get straight on now with Nicole's dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Nicole.
Thank you, Jane. How are you?
I'm really well. We've had a bit of a heat wave here in Hobart, but you're a little bit further north than us in Melbourne. I think you've had a bit even bigger heat wave today, haven't you?
I think it reached about 32, 33 today, so it is a little bit warm.
Are you in a nice, cool, calm place now to share your dream?
Yes, I think I was saying to you, my mum very kindly offered up her bedroom, which is the coolest spot in the house at the moment.
Oh, lucky.
We're not
you.
One of those families that have air conditioning. We have the old fan. So,
Well, you're in the coolest place. That's really good. Okay, as usual, I have no idea what dream anybody brings. So it's over to you, Nicole, with your dream.
Right. So I just wanted to start by saying this dream I had roughly about 6 weeks ago. My partner is from England. So my partner Dave and I were over visiting in England with his family, and I actually had it there. So I had it on the 13th of the 9th this year.
Okay.
I did sort of wake up during part of the dream at 3 o'clock in the morning and was sort of a little bit disturbed by the first part of the dream. I've then fallen back asleep, and when I've woken up again at the end of that dream, I've then written it all down sort of in the early hours of the morning. So I hope it makes some sense. And if it doesn't, just stop me.
Oh, it'll make perfect sense. Don't all dreams.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm here. All right. So I start by writing, I walk into a dark car park after finishing work. It's cold and lit. It's cold and dimly lit by a street light. I didn't want to be walking to the car park alone, and that's just a feeling that I had had. This first night I was held up by a man wearing a mask. I had an angel that was covered in plastic stolen from me. In the same car park the second night, something else is stolen from me. At this point, I couldn't tell you what it is. The third night, the masked man is waiting for me and he removes his mask. But I also see another man that I feel could possibly be his father. He proceeds to lay on my back to stop the masked man from shooting me. I wake up from this dream quite sort of panicked. So I physically do actually wake up and I look at my phone and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. But I am quite tired. So I fall sort of almost what I feel like straight back into the sleep. So I've then I've now written, when I fall back asleep, I'm in a car and I'm in the car with Jim Carrey, you know, the actor.
Oh, yeah, of course.
casually in the car with him. But I know him to be, or I feel that he is like my work colleague and he's actually driving me home. I start crying and I feel an overwhelming feeling to tell him that I've been mugged. Now, I've written mugged, but that's probably not a word that I would use to describe someone, you know, stealing from me or robbing me, or so I don't know if that has any relevance.
Yes.
At this point, I realize that I'm wanting to tell him this because I haven't dealt with my trauma. I hadn't told anyone what had happened to me. I start crying and I just won't stop. He, Jim Carrey, is trying to guess what I am so upset about. I tell him that I've been held up at gunpoint 3 times. First, he took a plastic angel. Second, he's taken an iPad. Now, at this point, I say an iPad because I still cannot describe what the object actually looks like, but it's of similar shape. As I go to tell him the third, my dream then quickly shifts to me laying in bed with my partner, David. He's holding me tight and he's comforting me and he's whispering in my ear, "We're going to fight this from heaven all the way to the depths of hell." As Dave says, hell, so the word hell, my mind flashes to the last mugging. The older father figure is no longer there and I'm in bed alone saying Hail Marys in sync with a man that I've never met. He isn't there, but I can feel his presence. I then feel his gun push up to my forehead. So it's kind of in the position of like my, third eye. I feel the cold end press uncomfortably to my forehead. It all comes together in this one moment, the word hell, the Hail Mary is being said in my voice, but also in another's. And I'm feeling safe and comfortable, but I'm also really terrified. I feel the man described to me what it will feel like, and I'm scared, but I concede to knowing that this is it. The bullet enters my brain / mind, I've written. It's cold and it's warm, and my head and mind expand, and it grows and grows and grows, and I can no longer contain this life. At this point, I actually know that I'm dreaming. I can sense that I'm dreaming, and I'm trying to force myself awake mid-death. I start seeing a very small gold mandala and it's growing bigger and bigger in a white light. And I've written that it's almost like a physical symbol of my life ending or possibly a beginning. And then that's what I've written. So that's the end of the dream. There was probably quite a lot more emotion that I still feel attached to that dream than probably what I've written down. But that's everything that I've sort of jotted down.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. I love the I love that you've brought this dream to the show, obviously, and I also love the fact that when you woke up and fell asleep, you were able to continue with the dream. That was remarkable, and brought so much more to it. Nicole, you said that there's probably quite a lot of emotion that I didn't capture writing down. Did you feel some of that when you were reading out your dream just now?
I don't know if I am feeling it now so much, but I knew I definitely felt it the next day, the following day. It was almost a week or two later. I couldn't shake it. It was a dream that I felt the need to kind of tell anyone and everyone that would listen.
Yes.
It felt very real. The gun being pressed to my head, I feel like I can still feel that feeling. Like I know what that feels like. I know the feeling of it sort of entering my brain. It was almost sort of trying to tell people, like, I feel like I understand what it would like to be shot and have a bullet, penetrate flesh or something. Like, it was so bizarre that it felt so real. And I remember the conflicting feelings of being absolutely petrified, I suppose, as one would be if they were actually in that situation. I remember feeling the real terror, but also feeling really at peace with it as well. And I don't think I've ever experienced something where I've been so afraid but so comforted too. But I think when I'm reading it back now, I'm almost reading it more like a story as opposed to yeah, any kind of like real emotion attached to it.
Yes, you've been able to stand back from it a little bit. Did you, you know, you said you were compelled to tell everybody about the dream, anyone would listen. How many people roughly did you end up sharing it with?
I woke up like sweating and I was in England at the time, so it wasn't very hot. And I woke up sweating from it. My partner was there while I was sort of scribbling it down. It was almost like I was possessed. So I told him straight away, and I didn't tell anyone else. So I'd only told my partner, Dave. And then when I got home, I told my younger sister, two of my best friends, my older sister and my mum. So that's probably sisters, your best friends, six people.
And even though you don't understand the dream or didn't understand the dream, did you find that it just helps you to become more comfortable with the fact that you'd had the dream through sharing it with other people?
I think I was probably looking, I spoke, how do I put this? I dream almost every night. I think everyone does. I'm not even sure of that. But I remember my dreams almost every single night. And this is the first time I've ever had a dream where I really, really, really felt like it was my subconscious or something trying to tell me something.
Yes.
And when I was telling other people, I was almost looking for some kind of input as to what they – I mean, these are people in my life that know me very well, so maybe – getting them to help me interpret it, I suppose. I didn't even know people like you existed that did dream interpreting. So like I said to you, it came about through a few universal signs, but yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that you did contact me and we're going to go into your dream and really work out what it means. But I'd just like to say that it is lovely that, you know, it is a good idea for everyone out there listening to share dreams, even if you're sharing them with people that can't help you. Just sometimes hearing yourself say the dream helps with the emotional content of it a little bit, kind of makes you a little bit more able to approach it or be more willing to go into it when you've actually got it off your chest a bit with other people. And in my, you know, what I would really love to happen in this beautiful world is for more and more people to gain the skills to understand how to interpret not only their own dreams, but to help other people with theirs, so that we can eventually have this society where we can turn to our friends and family and people and share our dreams, and they can give input and they can help us to get there. So, you know, one of the reasons of doing the dream shows to try to get that across. So it's lovely that you mentioned that idea. And just before we do interpret it too, I'm really quite intrigued with such a complicated and deeply emotive dream, that the thing that you really wanted to convey to people was how real it felt, how you could really feel that gun on your third eye, you know. And I think there's that too, when we have a dream that feels so real, and particularly when you're partly lucid like you were at the end of the dream, you know, you said I knew that I was dreaming. I know when that kind of thing happens to me, I have the same. I have this compulsion. You just want to say to people, but you've no idea how real it felt. You know, it feels more real than what you were feeling now in everyday life. So exactly. I love the way you described that. Okay, so as we go into this dream, dreams do reflect the day or two before the dream. And they reflect our conscious and our unconscious experiences, and because our dreaming mind and brain are processing whatever happened then. And as we're doing that, we also, you know, if there's a particular emotion or issue or something we have touched upon in that 1 to 2 days that is being processed in the dream that relates to the past, then we might come, you know, we might then delve back to signs and symbols from the past, because our dreaming brain is trying to compare what we've just experienced with all our past experiences, process it, understand it, and allow you to wake up ready to face a whole new future. So we're really looking at what happened in the day or two before as we go through this, but we're probably be piecing it together with all sorts of things from the rest of your life.
Okay.
So as you say, we're going back 6 weeks ago, and it was an unusual situation because you were actually not at home. You were in the UK at the time. So, and I loved also at one point you said that you told Jim Carrey that you were mugged, and you said that's not a word I would usually use. And often when we're talking about a dream or we write out a dream, we'll often notice that we use a word that we wouldn't normally use. And it's really important to do what you did and write it down, because sometimes that's our unconscious mind joining in and giving a clue. It's like, I know you wouldn't usually use the word mugged, as you said, to say that you've been robbed. Yes, but there's something about mugged, you know, and it might be along the lines, we'll explore it, but it might be along the lines of, I felt like a mug about something, you know.
I felt like a mug, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So there's one other question I want to ask you before we really go into it. And you mentioned the Catholic things, you know, the Hail Marys. Are you a Catholic or a practicing Catholic?
I'm not. So I suppose that was the other thing that stood out to me was in the end with the mandala, I'm not even sure if that's how you pronounce it, and also with the Hail Marys, I was brought up a Catholic. So I went to a Catholic primary school, but it was purely because that's where my parents had gone. So we were never really practicing. We could be no further from it, to be honest.
Yes. But as part of your Catholic education, going to a Catholic primary school, did you have to do the Hail Marys?
If we went to church. So I've had a christening and also I can't remember what it's called. If we went to church, yes, we did. Let's put it that way.
All right. That's great. So we're going to start at with Jim Carrey because he's an odd symbol. And when you have somebody in your dream that you, well, you kind of know because he's an actor. Would you give me three words to describe his personality or approach to life, not as he was in the dream, but as you, when we're sitting here now and you're thinking, oh, Jim Carrey, what three words would you give me?
Funny, insightful, my mind's gone blank. Sorry.
That's all right. If something else comes up, shout it out to me. So funny and insightful. I'm also noticing, of course, that his surname is Carey, which sounds like care as well.
Yep.
And he may just be there simply as a symbol of, you know, caring. Yeah. But obviously at that point in the dream, you're reaching out to look for insight because you regard him as someone that you could talk to and share things with, and you're looking for insight. Everyone in a dream represents something about ourselves. So there is a part of you that's like Jim Carrey, whether it's out front center stage or whether it's way deep in the shadows, there's a part of yourself that you can call on in difficult times. It's like, I think I'll just dial up Jim here. I want a bit of insight, but I want a dose of humor with this as well. Or maybe I just want to care, you know, but we'll go. So the beginning of the dream, you're walking in the dark and you're going to a car park after work. Do you remember in the dream whether it felt like you'd been at your work here, home in Australia, or some other kind of work?
It felt like I had been at, say, a job I would have done here, but it did feel like I was in a different country.
Okay, so it was a kind of feeling like
it was probably work that I was familiar with, but it was definitely because of how cold it felt, how dull and dark it felt. It almost felt more like I could have been somewhere, you know, in an American winter or a British winter, as opposed to somewhere back home where I'm familiar with.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
And when you did have the dream, you were in the UK and it was the 13th of September. It wasn't actually that cold then, was it?
No, it was actually quite pleasant. Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't the cold atmosphere coming in. Good. So that's a lovely symbol to work with. So it may or may not be that this dream is centered upon your work, because the beginning part of it, the beginning of a dream will often set the issue or the situation that the rest of the dream is going to explore. So it may be around your work or your career, but it also may be a dream pun on I'm trying to work something out here. But I think it's about your work or your career, where you're at with that, where you would want to be with it, etc. But the point is that you're going to look for your car, and normally we would go to look for our car to go home or to go somewhere. But you don't get to go anywhere because you get stopped by a masked man. So there's a feeling of something about work, perhaps, and I'm not really getting to where I want to be. I've got to, something is standing in my way here at the moment, and it's cold and it's dimly lit. So there's a feeling of I'm not feeling warm about this. I'm feeling a bit out in the cold and it's dimly lit. I'm not really seeing clearly. I'm not really seeing how to get to where I want to be from here. I'm feeling a bit stuck and I'm not seeing very well.
Yeah.
Right. Then the next thing that happens is a masked man comes along. And of course, this is really frightening. Now, although he robs and thieves you in the dream, if you take a really deep breath and just remember that everyone in a dream represents something about you, there's a feeling here that's a part of yourself that's got a mask on. Mm-hmm. And that is robbing from you, that is not allowing you to really have your full attributes available. You know, you're stealing from yourself. You're taking away some aspects of yourself that you really could do with around work. Mm-hmm. So I know it's sounding a bit vague at the moment, but we'll get into this. And because he's a man, sometimes in a dream, sometimes a man will represent our yang as opposed to our yin, you know, mm-hmm. our male side, our inner male, even our world of work. So there could be a sense here that in and around your work, you've been maybe wearing a bit of a mask, like, you know, I don't show the real me at work. I've yep. got a bit of a mask on. And not only that, but when I do turn up from work, I'm kind of working at a job where I'm robbing myself. I'm robbing myself of the kind of things that I would really prefer to be doing, or I'm robbing myself in some way, stopping myself from getting into what I really want to do.
Can I give you just a little bit of context? Because I don't know if this will make a big difference or not. But before, I had actually left work, so I had quit my job, and I had gone and sort of worked for my dad for a little bit, knowing that I was only short term before we went overseas. So when I actually went overseas, I was without a job at the time.
Okay, so that would yeah. explain a little bit why you went to the car park and there was nowhere to go.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, so it, to some extent, that masked man, you know, may still be then a part of yourself that when you worked for your dad, you were wearing yep. a mask, like it's not yep. your usual job. And definitely yep. you quit your job for a reason, which I'll ask you about later. Sure. And it may or may, that reason may or may not be because you felt like you weren't being the real you. It's like, here I am wearing a mask. This isn't the real me. Yeah. This job is robbing me of what I really would prefer to be doing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Yep. So we then, when we go on now to look at the three things that this man robbed from you, that you have robbed from yourself, we're going to look at those as symbols of aspects of yourself that you have not been able to bring into your work. Mm-hmm. Right. So the first one was a plastic angel.
Yeah, I think I had written down that it was an angel wrapped in plastic. So,
oh, sorry, angel wrapped in plastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why do you think it was wrapped in plastic?
I don't know. I can't even – I just think of like it being an angel that was almost like a Christmas tree topper. And it was – I don't know. I suppose the only thing that keeps popping up in my mind is like suffocation or – like just feeling stifled. I'm not sure.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Because, you know, another person might have said, oh, it was wrapped up in plastic because it was brand new, you know, it was delivered from China and all I had to do was open it up. And so it's getting from the dream of the sense of the sense of the symbol. So yeah. You've got there, as you say, a sense of suffocation and feeling stifled, which probably related to the job that you had. Did you feel before you quit that you were feeling a bit stifled in the job?
Definitely. I had to leave that job because it was something that I think it probably got to a point where I had no choice but to leave because it was so detrimental, I think, to my mental health. So, yeah.
Mm. Mm. And the angel you felt was an angel that would be at the top of a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the angel that goes on top of the Christmas tree.
Like what that would represent to me.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm just going to come whatever pops into my head because I don't really think I've thought about this, but the angel that goes on top of the Christmas tree, like it just instantly makes me think of my sister because she loves Christmas and that's something that she would almost force us to have to do, even if I didn't particularly feel like decorating the Christmas tree. That's one thing that we all have to do together. So yeah, as a family.
Right, okay. So yeah. The angel represents something that you have to do together as a family. It's like a celebration. It's like a duty. It's like something, but you also said something you're forced to do.
Yeah.
So So was there a sense in your job that you were kind of forced to do something for the common good that was supposed to be sort of fun, but it didn't really feel like that to you?
There were many aspects, I suppose, but there were probably two things I can think about. Maybe I wouldn't necessarily say for the greater good. I think most people had issues with the way that our workplace did certain things, but everyone else kind of took it like water off a duck's back, whereas it seemed to really affect me, and like having to put myself out there and do that every single day, I was just mentally and physically drained every single day. So it wasn't for me, and I think I struggled with that because a lot of people were like, you're lucky to even have a job, let alone you know, to be complaining about it. And that was kind of the mentality, I suppose, I saw myself getting into, was that fear of, you know, other people sort of telling you that, you know, don't complain because at least you've got work, and there's lots of people that don't.
A little bit like, you know, the cherry on the top of the icing, or the fairy on the top of the tree. It's like, you know, what are you doing? You're on top of this. Yeah. True. So there's that aspect there, as you say, that, you know, it's very difficult to leave a job when you're getting paid for it, and B, people are telling you you're lucky to have a job in this climate, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. And yet it was suffocating and strangling. So you can see here that the masked man in robbing you of the plastic angel was in a sense actually trying to be quite helpful.
It's really funny you say that, because like I said to you, there was some detail I left out obviously when writing this, but the emotions that I felt towards when that was happening was, I shouldn't have been there, but I was there. And when he took it from me, I remember not necessarily being afraid of it, but I was resistant. It was mine. But at the same time, I almost felt like, you can have it. Like, you obviously need it more than I do.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's as if the masked man, part of yourself, is taking away that feeling of, you're lucky to have a job. You know, there's a bit of conflict going on, because obviously the masked man is also the mask that you were wearing in the job. I've got to turn up, I've got to do this job. But by the same time, that whole feeling of, I don't really want to be here, but I've got to do about it. At the same time, that part of yourself was going, but you know what? I'm not going to stay. I'm going to just, I know they're telling me I'm lucky to have a job, that I'm like the, you know, the fairy on the top of the tree, the angel on top of the tree, but this isn't for me. I'm suffocating, I'm stifled. And that's why, you know, you said in the dream, it kind of felt okay that he was taking that, because you don't actually want that in your life. Yep. Yeah. So whereas I said earlier, you know, it's like, the masked man is robbing you of things that you could actually have in another job. I can see that slightly changed now. He was really more working on your side and taking away things that you were feeling, like the suffocation and the luck going with the lucky to have a job thing, taking away those things from you, which was actually a good thing.
Yep.
So we can look at the reverse of that and say, when you get your next job, you're really looking for a job that you actually want to have, one that doesn't make you feel stifled and suffocated, one that actually makes you feel that you can breathe easily. That's not about having to do this because everyone's telling you you're lucky to have a job. It's about doing this because it makes you feel alive.
I like that. I think that's probably the main thing that I've really tried to focus on this year since leaving that job. And I've been fortunate enough to be surrounded by people that happy to support me, but I think there's still conflict. There's still that feeling of, you know, having to conform and make sure I have a full-time job that pays well, because that's what I've always done and that's sort of all I've ever known, but also having a side to me that kind of feels like I actually can't see myself living that way for the rest of my life and being happy. I mean, I can do it, but as a matter of being happy, I just don't think I could do it.
No, and there's not a lot of point in that.
Yeah.
Apart from the money.
Exactly.
So the second thing he takes from you, you think it's something else, you don't know what it is, but later in the dream you think it might be an iPad because it was something like that. What do you use an iPad for?
Well, I hadn't even thought about this dream relating to work, but in my place of employment I used an iPad, and it was to predominantly sort of book people in the role that I was doing, and that was actually the role that gave me the most anxiety, that really conflicted like with a lot of my values. I felt like the way that they had set it up was treating people in a number format, as opposed to I like to be a bit more of a people person and spend some time to understand what they need before moving them on. Mm-hmm. And it was very tick and flick, get people in, get people in. And the role was actually using an iPad. So that kind of makes
sense. That makes perfect sense. So your mask, your inner mask man whips that one away too, and you're not having your iPad, Nicole.
Yeah.
So I love that although you couldn't remember what the third thing was, he then removed his mask.
Well, I think the third thing, how I interpreted that part of the dream was the third thing, when I went back the third night, I really felt like I shouldn't have been going back because there was nothing more to take. Mm. And so I knew he felt this overwhelming need to shoot me, and that's when I saw the father figure there, and he'd kind of like sort of laid himself on my back to stop it from happening. Mm. And even when I'm retelling the dream to Jim Carrey, I'm sort of saying, first he took this, second he took this, and then as I go to say the third thing about him going to shoot me, that's when my mind kind of skips to another scene.
Right, okay. But did you also say that he removed his mask?
He did. He did in the third part, yes.
Right. Okay, so he removed his mask, but he was then going to shoot you. So if you look at the masked man as a part of yourself, the fact that he removes his mask, even though he's going to shoot you, but let's not worry about that at the moment, the fact that he removed his mask is a good thing, because that was a part of yourself saying, okay, I've been hiding behind this mask and this iPad and this job that I'm lucky to have all this time. But now, like, I've given up the plastic angel. I'm not going to be suffocated and stifled. I've given up the iPad. I'm not going to book people in without, you know, doing my people relating with them first. All that's gone. What else is there? You know, and the mask is removed. I'm no longer that person wearing that mask. It's gone. Okay. And that is good. But you're then really worried that he's going to shoot you, because it does indeed look like he's going to shoot you. Yeah. And his father appears to lay on your back. So you're on the ground at this stage, are you?
I've written it, I suppose, a little bit. That's where it's a bit confusing. But I remember he's sort of pointing the gun at me, and it's almost like I know he's going to shoot me, but he doesn't want to do it, but he knows he has to do it. And then there's another man there, and I just remember the man sort of jumping onto my back and almost pushing me to the ground, but it didn't hurt. And that's why I say he lays on my back, because I'm upright and he definitely forces himself onto the back of me, so we both hit the ground and he's on top of me on my back. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel like it was an aggressive thing. It felt like a real protecting thing, and it almost happened quite in slow motion.
Okay, right, that's lovely. And knowing that later the gun was actually pressed on your third eye on the front of your face by the man jumping on your back and pushing you down to the ground, that the gun wouldn't have been able to get into your third eye.
Okay.
But you didn't know that till later, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so often in dreams, when we do have death in dreams or a potential death in dreams, obviously it's really scary because part of us in the dream goes, oh my God, I'm going to die. This is really scary. But quite often it will come up in a really positive sense, in that, you know, something in our life has to end in order for something new to begin. You know, and you said at the very end of the dream that you had the sense of something ending and something beginning. But throughout our entire lives, if we're growing and changing in positive and wonderful ways, life is a process of, right, that attitude's going to stop in order to have a new attitude, or I'm going to stop doing that in order to do this. Or it's a constant process of death for rebirth. But changing, even when we want change, is really, really scary. So, you know, you want change, as in you've essentially already dealt the fatal blow to that job. And to all future jobs like that. You know, if you see them advertised, it's like your gun will come out and bang, bang, I'm not even going in that direction. But the fear, you know, around having made a decision like that, which is a decision for a better and positive future, brings up all the fear. But what if I don't get the job? What if this, you know, how much of my old self am I really killing off here? Is it just the me, Nicole, that had that job? Or am I killing off other things? Will people still love me if I don't have this job? Yeah. Will people still like me? Will my personality change if I stop being stifled and I actually speak out? Will things change too much for me? So, you know, the death in a dream, or the prospect of death in a dream, is usually about a positive change, but then the dream will go into your fears around that.
And
so the fact at this point in the dream that you're kind of saved from the death by somebody jumping on your back and carefully delivering you to the floor and protecting you was almost a thing of, you know, yeah, you're ready for change. You've given it all up. You've taken off the mask, but you don't really want to go through a major change. You just want to feel protected. Can I go through this change and be totally protected? Thank you very much. I don't really want to take any risks.
Yes, pretty much.
But thankfully you woke up and you went back to sleep again, and then thankfully Jim Carrey came along, because he may not only be represent a caring aspect of yourself, but he's also insightful. And what you really want at this point is, yeah, well, you know, I want to move ahead and maybe change what I do and maybe change a number of things. But maybe I'm going to be a bit braver than just wanting to be protected in this. Maybe I'm ready for a bit of insight and a bit of help. And a dash of humour will also help a lot as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Good old Jim. So you cry and you're actually crying in your dream. I just want to pause there.
Yeah.
Given what we're talking about, again, when you think of Jim Carrey, I don't know whether this is there's anything in this or not. I'm just putting it out there. From what you know about Jim Carrey, did he have any major career changes where he went from, I'm not doing this kind of job anymore, I'm going to do something that gives me life?
Not from what I know. The only thing I think that does stand out to me about him, because I wouldn't even say like I'm a big fan of him or anything like that, but I do know that he's someone that used, I remember watching something where he used visualization, and he wrote himself like $1 million check and said by the time he's whatever age or something along those lines, he would have earned $10 million on a movie. And anyway, I think fast forward 10 years and he had done that. So I very distinctively remember that, because that's where I sort of feel like he's a little bit more insightful than just the funny man. Like there's a lot more going on behind the scenes to him than just someone who's, you know, puts on that funny persona. And I think, yeah, that stands out to me.
Okay, that's really lovely. So he, because you associate that with him and that came to mind, and because I was prompted to ask you another question, that is, he will also represent the part of yourself that has taken that on board, that has said, yes, if I can visualize or something, I know that all things are possible, that, you know, my views up until now about my job have been limited. And if Jim can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
There's a part of yourself that feels that, yeah. So you have a really, really, really good cry in the dream, which is good because when you do cry in a dream, often it's letting go of not only grief that you might have not fully cried when you left the job, because you probably felt jubilant rather than crying at the time, but any grief throughout your entire life that has been associated with this subject of having to do what you're having to do, your duties for the family, as in put the thing on the Christmas tree, the fairy on top of the Christmas tree, be lucky and grateful that you've got a job, dear, all of these things. There'll be some element of no matter what you do, just be stifled. Don't say what you really want to say. Don't do what you really want to do. Be limited. There's a sense of the crying here is some amount of release of grief. All of that going back through your past, all those times when those kind of things have been an issue for you are now shifting and releasing and crying in that dream.
That definitely stands out to me.
In that context, that's when you tell Jim that you've been mugged.
Yes.
And it's a funny word to use, as you say, but we can be very harsh on ourselves. But in that context, would you say that you might look back over your life and say, I've been a mug, haven't I?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm glad you can laugh about that too. Because in a way, when we can look back and say, oh yeah, I've been a mug, we can also look back with a wonderful amount of wisdom and say, yeah, but it was because I was younger and I didn't know and I did this and I was only doing my best and I was doing what was right, what seemed right for me at the time. And to have no hang-ups about that means you can then, you know, pass it off as funny. Like Jim might do, and therefore, you know, move forward without any sense of any obstacles, nothing holding you back from now, which is really good. So you go, according to my notes, you do some more crying. and then you tell him about the three, you tell him that you were at gunpoint three times.
Yes.
Now, each of those three times, was the gun at your third eye?
No, see, this is where obviously I had the first part of the dream where those three things happened, and then this is now me after I've woken up and now I'm dreaming again. And even when I've written that, I've actually written, I tell him I've been held up at gunpoint three times. I only remember being held up once, and that was the third time, because I knew at that time I was like, I shouldn't have come back. Like, I've known not to come back, and I have, and this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I did find it weird that I've told him that I was held up at gunpoint three times.
And that's absolutely wonderful, because when we look at our dreams and we find the bits that totally blow the logic apart, we know that those are really key, important things, because they've come in to really sort of shine light on another aspect. So I've been at gunpoint three times. There have been three times in your life, probably, not just this one time when you maybe to an extent you left the job because you felt that there was a gun at your head. You were holding it. They were holding it. Doesn't matter who was holding it. Doesn't even matter if the gun was really just like death of the old me, death of the job. There's a sense of, I'm out of here. But as your dream said, I've been held at gunpoint three times. So whether you think about that now, Nicole, or whether you think about it later, you may look over your life and say, actually, you know, there have been three times when I've been in this kind of situation.
Yeah, that does... I think that, again, I couldn't give you specifics right now, but I think that is having some kind of an impact on me, what you're saying about that. Mm. I have a tendency to I'm a very, like, deeply anxious person, and I think the thing that I get hung up on a lot is that I feel like my life runs in a certain cycle, and then it ends, and then the cycle happens again, and then it ends. It's like I never learn from it, and I would say the one thing I speak with my sister quite a lot, pretty openly, about the things that that worry me, and one of them is the cycle of anxiety, a relationship that I have with my partner, and a job, and those tend to be the three things that kind of come up. They play out always the same way, and then I start again. And I think I've now gotten to a point where I'm starting to feel like I really can't have that be my way of life anymore, and I'm really struggling with where to start or
thank you for that. That makes perfect sense. So just as a side note, it's human to go round in cycles and get stuck in cycles, and we all do that until we learn to move out, and then we probably find ourselves in another cycle, and then we eventually learn that one and move out in another cycle. The lovely thing about this is that most people don't know that, or they think they don't have any options. What options have I got? You just keep going around in circles. That's how things happen. So the fact that you know that means that you're the Jim Carrey insight part of yourself is very wise there, and has identified these three things as well. And it's possible that the anxiety loop and the relationship loop and the job loop, it's possible that if you spent time at another time and looked at those, that they might all be governed by the same issue, the same limiting belief, or the same emotional thing could be governing all of those things. So it's not this, but I'm just giving this as an example so that people listening in could understand. If you were in a situation where you were shy and didn't really speak out and say what you wanted very much, then that would hold you back in relationship, because you wouldn't be speaking out. It would hold you back in your jobs because you wouldn't be speaking out, and it would cause a lot of anxiety because you're not speaking out. So that's a simple example of one thing that actually governs three different loops that you can be stuck in. So for you, it will be something else, but you'll probably find, and we might even find it today in the dream, that one thing that's keeping you stuck in all of those things. Find that one thing, address it, and you break out of each of those cycles and move up a level.
I like that. I'm just writing that down.
Good. the beauty of the podcast is you can also listen to it as many times as you
that's
like.
True. That's true.
So at that point, you then realise that you're not really, you dream that you're in your bedroom. This is before you realise that you're dreaming, isn't it? But you're dreaming you're in your bedroom with David.
Yeah, so from that point, I'm describing to him what happens, and then I very clearly remember saying, and third, and as I say third, my dream almost mashes up. Sometimes they kind of interlink a little bit, and it skips to me. I can see myself laying in the bed in England with my partner Dave, and that's when he's like hugging and comforting me. But I'm not, I don't think I'm consciously aware that I'm dreaming yet. That happens later on.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And he whispers to you, we're going to kill, you say it.
Because this stood out to me a lot. He whispers to me, we're going to fight this from heaven all the way to the depths of hell.
Right, okay. So if we put that in different language, because you're not religious and because you don't believe in heaven and hell, that's another way of saying, I guess we're going to fight this from a sense of good. We're going to come from a sense of good, and we're going to go as deep into your own personal hell as we have to, as deep into your own darkness, your own shadows, which we all have. We're going to go in really deep so that we can clear up this stuff and we can move on. Now, that's not really David speaking, you know. This everyone in a dream represents something about you. This is a part of yourself saying, okay, all right. You know, I'm prepared to do this. And, you know, we'd all like to wake up every day and live in paradise and heaven. And, you know, and many people are frightened to go into the depths of their deeper, darker self, their hell. Yes. but your dream says, no, actually, I'm going to do that because I know this is the only way that's going to get me out, which is what dream work is all about. It's going in and looking at the darker side so that we can actually spend more of time in the lighter side and actually expand that lighter side there. So that's really what's happening there. You're going, right, that's enough. The third cycle, the third gun point, I'm out of here. How do I do it? Okay, I'm going to delve deep. I'm going to delve into my personal hell, into the darkest sides, and I'm going to take a few Hail Marys with me just to protect myself.
Which is so odd. It's so odd for, yeah.
That may or may not relate back to school, and it's something you could think about later, that something you were taught about school, about hell and your personal hell or whatever, or, you know, not contemplating your darker side or contemplating and judging your darker side too much. You know, there are some things to play around there, but we'll just miss that bit and just for the moment go with the fact that what do you say Hail Mary's for? I mean, I know, but just tell me in one sentence what the point of a Hail Mary is.
I honestly don't even know, to be honest. Like, I think, I feel terrible saying that, but I really don't know. I think in the dream it just felt, it felt like it was preparing me for something, like it was giving me like a comfort because for what was going to happen next. And the only thing I can relate that to is I definitely have been not an overly spiritual person myself, and since leaving my job, I've definitely been starting to feel like life has to be a little bit more than just get up and go to work. I've got to have more of a spiritual meaning or some kind of connection to what I'm doing in my day-to-day life, because it kind of feels it's without a purpose otherwise, which is an odd way for my mind to actually think, because I don't think I'm naturally inclined that way.
That's really lovely that you say that. And, you know, and you think you're not naturally inclined that way, but in the dream you've taken off the mask, so you were actually seeing more of Nicole than you've ever seen before. You know, and that it's another spin on the plastic, the angel wrapped in plastic as well. You know, an angel that may or may not represent spirituality, dependingly. You know, some people think of angels being spiritual, some don't. But then there's this, you know, possibility of... although the angel wrapped in plastic represented suffocation and feeling stifled, there's also the sense that if you take off the plastic, she will be able to breathe. So, you know, you could look back then on your job and say, well, the more spiritual side of yourself was perhaps stifled and feeling suffocated, and you pictured it as an angel in the dream. And so the Hail Marys may then take you back to it, as you say, you know, going on this search for the more spiritual side of yourself. You have already expressed that too, just in saying, I don't want to be booking people in on some kind of checklist iPad system. I actually want to relate to people. You know, what is spirituality if it's not relating to people, if it's not empathy, if it's not love, if it's not we're all in this together, there must be more meaningfulness in life. Perhaps I find that meaningfulness by relating to other people and so on and so forth. So, you know, you do have that. And the Hail Marys in the dream, as you say, may possibly just represent that sense of when I was a child, the Hail Marys I knew was something about spiritual comfort. Maybe I'm ready for something like that. And then your dream instantly switches and goes, well, we're not doing Hail Marys, dear. We're doing, we've got the third eye. This gun is right in the third eye.
Yeah.
And you associate the third eye with, tell me.
Once again, I don't know. And this is where I feel a bit silly because, like I said to you, I'm probably not someone that like is well informed on any religion or any kind of spirituality. So even mentioning things like Hail Marys and the third eye and the golden mandala, all of those things are uncomfortable to me to even say to you because I don't truly understand the origins of what they mean.
But if I was just ask you in everyday plain English what you think the third eye means?
I suppose it's, for me, it's almost like the all-seeing eye, like maybe more of like your intuition, like yes. It's your gut instinct as opposed to like what you're actually consciously seeing and interpreting. And
yeah, that's yeah. brilliant. And that is right. You've got that. Yeah. You've got that right. That is what the third eye does represent. So you know that. Yeah. And isn't it lovely that you said, as well as intuition, you said it's like the all-seeing eye. If yeah. we think back to the mask, you know, the mask's been removed. If we think back to the very beginning of the dream, it was dimly lit. You couldn't see. It was too dark. Yeah. And now you've gone to the all-seeing eye. So there's a sense of, yeah, I am ready, actually, even though we're talking about here a gun being pointed at your third eye. So the gun actually, scary though it is, the bullet actually goes into your brain and your mind and it grows.
Yeah.
And you know that you're dying, but it also, there was something else that, tell me the other feeling that you had about the mind growing there.
That's where I feel like I haven't described it well enough with writing it down, because I don't feel like it's something that I can actually put into words. It felt like everything was expanding. Like it felt very much like it was physically expanding, but it also felt like, you know, my emotions were growing with it too, and my insight into how I felt and thought about things was growing and expanding. It felt very much like if I wake up from this dream, I'm going to miss out on some really big answers here to questions that I don't even know I have.
Yes.
And it was a very tempting thought to, you know, let it play out, but I was waking up and I was thinking, this is not right. This is scary. I need to wake up. So I felt really comfortable. I felt really safe. But on the flip side, I honestly felt terrified as well.
Because the logical part of ourselves says, as you're waking up, this is a dream about me dying and I don't want to die.
Yes.
Physically, yes. But actually, yeah, but actually it was an amazing thing. You know, if again, remember, we related the gun to leaving work in many ways, to putting an end to something, to putting an end to that way of being. And the moment you put an end to something, you're saying, well, what is the new beginning? Yeah. And this gun was literally opening you up at the third eye, opening you up at your intuition, at your all-seeing, a readiness to see everything. And that readiness to see everything, even those you said you don't know what it is or what you know, spirituality is all new to you. You didn't know what you were going to see, but you got the sense of expanding. Expanding meaning going beyond your current limitations, you know, evolving, insight. You were ready for insight and part of you didn't want to wake up. And the fact that you actually described it, I think, in the original wording in the dream as something like, my mind is expanding. I think you actually said that, you know. So, your mind is expanding, yes. So this is a period of time when you are terrified. Everyone's terrified for their mind to expand, because what are you going to discover that's going to make you feel, you know, how are you going to look back on your life now that you know more and understand more? What difference is it? Is it going to change your relationship? Is it going to change the way you live your life? Is it going to change your friends? Are people going to treat you the same way? We have all these terrible questions to ask when we stand on the verge of expanding our experience of who we are.
Yeah, that's and yet, probably yeah, a lot.
Yes, but yeah. It's generally all good. You know, facing that fear takes us to a better place. And yeah, you might lose some friends. Yes, you might, some things might happen that, you know, weren't within what you previously envisaged for your life, but it's going to be an awful lot better. And for any friends that do decide to drop you, that's their loss, because you're going to meet a whole lot more that are going to be, you know, in alignment with where you're going and what you're doing. Yeah, which is why you've, letting you cry here, which is why you've had that feeling at the end that the whole dream was, you know, a feeling of being petrified versus being at peace. It's the absolute terror of change, and yet knowing that that change is going to lead you into a place of amazing peace, ever expanding, you said. The mandala, and you said you didn't know how to pronounce that, which is funny because I've always called it a mandala, but recently I've heard a few people call it mandala, and I'm thinking, what are you calling it a mandala for? It's a mandala. So, yeah, everyone listening, we all have different pronunciations for mandala. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Our accents, our pronunciations, we're all completely different people, but the essence of a mandala is, I know you're going to say to me, I don't know what it is, but you know a little bit. Tell me what you think a mandala is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I at first only understood it to be something, you know, that it was a pretty design that people put on their wall. I do understand that it's my understanding of it is it's kind of like life intertwined, and like I don't really know. Maybe.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because I tell you, like what, that, I don't really know.
See, whatever it is, the point is, anything that comes up in a dream reflects something about the dreamer. So whatever you think a mandala is, consciously or unconsciously, that's what the symbol is. And you said for you, a mandala is something where things are entwined. It's moved beyond the surface, a pretty pattern that people will put on the wall. You know, it's more than that. It's something about things being entwined. So the mandala here is a sense of entwined interconnection. How do things work? Is it about the different parts of me that are entwined, or is it about how I entwine with other people, or is it about how I entwine with life, or is it about the whole of life, the meaningfulness of life? How is it entwined? A mandala is often a circle. Sometimes it's a circle within a square, and it is often an exploration. An individual will often make or design a mandala as an exploration of themselves, not really knowing what they're doing, just seemingly drawing patterns. But then you can stand back and look at those patterns as representing something about yourself. And the reason it's often done in a circle is because it's a way of exploring your whole self. It's like this circle. It hasn't got any bits missing out of it. It's a whole pie, it's a whole circle, it's my whole self, and it's exploring and coming to terms with and meditating upon my whole self. So I think unconsciously you did know what it was and popped that in your dream as well. And it's not silver. We've moved beyond the silver gum. We've really got gold here.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of overall interpretation of your dream. Is there anything else that you wanted to ask about the dream before we go for a bit of dream alchemy?
I suppose the only thing that because I'd listened to a couple of your podcasts, and then I'd realized I want to put my hand up for this and see maybe what this was meaning. And one of the things that I think you'd mentioned in your podcast was numbers in a dream. And the only thing I noticed coming, like reading back over mine, was that 3 popped up quite a lot in it.
Yes.
And I just wasn't sure, like I woke up at 3 a.m., I was robbed 3 times. But I think possibly we've already gone over that with, you know, the cycles that I was sort of talking about, like in my life, and maybe there's been some.
I think so, Nicole, but the fact that you've mentioned it again suggests to me that there's another reason as well. And we'll often find parallels, you know, something like the number 3 can be correct with the 3 times in your life or the 3 issues which we've identified, but it can also be other things as well. So for example, but I'd forgotten you woke at 3 a.m. Thank you for reminding me of that. It could relate to when you were 3. It could relate to when you were 30 or when you will be 30. And the 3 can come up like that as well. Mm-hmm. It can be what does 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon mean to you? Is that significant in any other way?
Not really. I mean, it was only significant that night because I remember thinking, oh, I've woken up exactly at 3 o'clock. Like I look straight at my phone but otherwise, no, not really.
Mm. And 3 o'clock in the afternoon when you had your job wasn't a specific time for anything?
Not really. Okay, should I just say whatever's on my mind? Because I feel relevant. I would say like the 3 o'clock in the afternoon shift was the one that I dreaded the most. I didn't want that end of day having to turn people away type. Mm-hmm. So I knew from 3 o'clock onwards. But it only stands out because you've mentioned it, not because that's something that I feel like I've thought about.
Yeah. And the reason why I mentioned it was because you were woken up at 3 a.m. because you couldn't be woken up at 3 p.m. because you weren't asleep then. And sometimes, you know, I apply a lot of tools and techniques, which are the tools and techniques that I teach through my courses and everything, and that you often hear on the Dream Show, which are specific tools and techniques to go into a dream. But then there's also often a dash of intuition, you know, and something was just saying to me, oh, no, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Just push that one. So that's why I asked you about it. So
Okay.
So that kind of does fit in there too as well. Yeah. Like it's another thing of, I don't want to be at that 3 p.m. thing ever again. I want to be out of here. You might also look at 3 years ago or 3 months ago or 3 weeks ago. Just play around with the number three.
I'm pretty terrible at remembering events, to be honest. I don't remember times and dates very well.
I'd go for the 3 p.m. and also the three circling issues, the anxiety, the relationship and the job, and actually when you mentioned that they were like cycles you were stuck in, you could see that as a circular mandala as well. So actually do you doodling and drawing or not?
I love it.
Oh good. Because I'm thinking about a dream alchemy to do here, and so a dream alchemy is when you take a couple of symbols from your dream and you do something with them to transform them a little bit or to move the dream along a bit. Now, you've already, I sense in your dream, you've already burst through a lot of limitations. It's not a dream that says, oh God, you're really stuck. You know, we're going to have to do something to unstick you here. Your dream has been quite the opposite. It's been processing a readiness to actually change a lot, but just a side note of terror and being petrified. But it's like, no, I've actually already taken the bullet. I've left the job. I've taken the bullet into my third eye. I'm ready to see more clearly. I'm ready for my mind to expand. I'm terrified, but I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to, my spiritual life is something that was really going to surprise people, because it's an aspect of myself that I've never even considered before, but I'm going to go there. So the whole dream is like a real breakthrough dream. You're ready to do this thing. So I don't want to create a dream alchemy that's going to flip something in the dream, you know, it's going to change a negative into a positive. I want to create a dream alchemy that's going to bring out this even more. So I'm going to suggest that you draw three mandalas. I'm going to throw the word three back in the ring again.
Yep.
Three mandalas, and at least some amount of gold or yellow, representing gold in them. And one of the mandalas is called anxiety.
Okay.
One of the mandalas is called relationship, and one of the mandalas is called job. Now, obviously, we want to change the word anxiety to something better. So what would be a more positive word for what, when you think of your anxiety and you want to get out of that, instead of being anxious, what would you prefer to be?
Okay, peace was the first word that came to my mind, but calm is something that I would normally say. I like to feel, you know, just calm. I always feel so uppity and so, you know, frazzled. I just want to feel calm and relaxed.
Okay, that's lovely. So the first mandala is actually now renamed as calm. And you had a lot of that in your dream. You had Jim Carrey and David calming you down. So we know that, you know, that the dream was moving in that direction, away from anxiety and into calm. Again, a positive. So the first mandala is called calm. The second one is called relationship. And the third one is called job. And obviously the relationship mandala is going to be about the, you know, moving your relationship into an even better scenario. And your job is going to be the kind of job that you are going to get, that you want, where you're not stifled, etc. And all you're going to do is, without any of your head being involved in this at all, is just let yourself name those mandalas and just draw in them. Draw pretty patterns, draw whatever comes up. And if some of those pretty patterns become things, that's okay too. They might develop into things or angels or whatever. Just let them do it. And just knowing that you're letting your unconscious mind, which did the dreaming, settle into the idea that you're going to resolve those three issues and you're going to stop going around in circles around them. You're going to become more whole, because these are mandalas which are about whole. And you're going to literally doodle and draw yourself in insightful ways, in mind-expanding ways, without needing to understand why. Part of mind understanding is taking the logical restrictions away from us. So the moment you try not to think about what you're doing and not to be too logical and just let that wonderful mind expanding take over and draw pretty pictures and doodles within your mandalas, your unconscious mind is going to be going, oh, this is really what I want to do. I just want to kind of doodle and draw, because all the while I do this, I'm kind of really expanding, and Nicole is going to just gradually absorb some of this feeling, and she's going to know exactly what to do in her relationship and her job. She's going to know exactly what to do to feel more calm.
And I really like that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you've done them, stick them on your wall, the mandalas. Okay.
Stick them on the wall.
Thank you for bringing such an amazing dream to the Dream Show.
Thank you so much for having me. That was fantastic.
It's an absolute pleasure. Yeah. Enjoy.
Thanks, Jane.
So I'm sure that you really enjoyed that dream as much as I did, talking with Nicole and exploring the dream and relating it to her life. And I hope that the dream has given you more courage to reach more deeply into your own terrifying dreams to find the gold that's within them as well. Just a reminder of the websites again, janeteresa.com or dream-academy-online.com. The next episode of The Dream Show, episode 225, is due out on the 2nd of January next year. That'll be 2020 if you're listening to this in real time. Have a wonderful month. Have a wonderful Christmas and New Year. If you're celebrating Christmas and New Year, I'm sure that you're at least celebrating New Year. And thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.